season 4 wrap-up. Hard to believe that it's over. We covered a lot of territory, a lot of different topics. I was really excited and proud of this season. We had some awesome guests. We learned a lot. And now we're curious to hear your feedback on season 4. What you liked, what you didn't like, what you want to hear more of. And you know what people have said to me the most?
What?
They want to hear more of just you and I.
No.
I said maybe we should mic ourselves up one day. No, that would probably be bad.
That would go bad. We'd have to edit so much
out. So much editing.
I like people. Mm-hmm. I like that people say that. My only worry is we don't know enough to always just talk ourselves, mm-hmm. you know? We pretend to.
We say a lot of things, but I don't know if it would be anything that anybody would want to listen to, actually. Yeah.
So that is one of the things when we plan for a season, we map out the whole 10 episodes, and we do try to balance, like, other people's voices and expertise with just our conversations and learning. So we are aware of that and obviously try to do more talking with just Jess and I. But sometimes we do need help.
Yes, and we want to educate you guys. There's so many things that we love to learn about, and when we find something out and we have a passion for it, we immediately want to share it with you.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean we have all the information. So then we call in someone that does.
So we're going to learn together.
When we started in January, the very first two episodes that we did over minimalism, we had tons of feedback and comments and questions about that. Just like people, I don't know if we just happened to time that right with the new year and stuff that was going on like the Marie Kondo, like all like the chaos kind of came at the same time. Mm-hmm. But we had lots of good conversations with people about what we fill our homes with, how we spend our money, mm-hmm. what's important for us versus what's important for someone else. Like, mm-hmm. I loved doing those episodes.
That was a good episode. And I, like Lisa has told me, and I have finally embraced, am a very slow learner. And I get the information, I process it, I sit with it, and maybe or maybe not, I will do something with it. So just in the last 2 weeks have I started to purge. I am getting rid of a lot of stuff in my house, and mostly giving it to my mom because if I want it back, I want it back.
It's a safe place to get rid of it. I don't think you're getting the full lesson.
No, I'm not, but I'm a slow learner. I'm not. I have to do things in stages, and I have to, like, it just...
ease into it.
I have to ease into everything. So I finally have started to apply those things. And I'm excited about it. It does. It feels nice. Max goes, why does our house look so empty? And I was like, because we don't need things.
I think about that a lot because one of the things I said was I had an empty closet. And, like, I think at the time I had an empty closet and an empty vanity in one of our bathrooms. And you were like, that's so depressing. So every time I try to get rid of something or, like, I have an empty space, I think, like, is this depressing or is this okay? And then I'm just like, no, it's fine. I think about that all the time of just like how we're so conditioned to think if we don't have things, we must be lacking mm-hmm. or in need of something as opposed to just, oh, I just don't need as much. Right. You know, like I do think about that all the time.
Mm-hmm. And I am bad. Like if I go to a Goodwill for Max and I will go to Goodwill just for fun. Like if mm-hmm. we go to dinner and then we'll stop at Goodwill and he likes to collect cassette tapes, old ones that he likes. And, but
does he have anything to play on?
Yeah. Okay. He has a little Walkman. Cool. And, but I've often gone into these places and I'll be like, but this is so cool. I don't want anybody else to have it. And it will be so cool in my house and people will think it's cool. And it's just, and finally this is a new thing too. I really, really, really hate to clean right now. And so I have to, one day, everything gets clean, laundry gets done. And if it's left over, then it's just going to have to wait till the following week on that day because I just don't like to do it right now. And I'm just like, the less things you have, the less things you have to dust and have to clean around.
Yeah.
So that's my selling point right now.
I think about that too, about like the less stuff you have, the less time it takes to manage mm-hmm. your stuff. And yeah. that's been a big thing for someone who always feels like there's too much to do and never has enough time in the day. If I could have less things and have more time because I don't have to manage them, like that's appealing to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Like, why do you need 5 blankets in the living room? You don't need 5 blankets in the living room. Well, maybe you do.
What? That's not a good example.
It's a good example for me because if there's 5 blankets in the living room, the kids will find a way to have to use all 5 of those blankets at one time. And so I was just like, okay, it's
you
over.
You need to tell them to come to my house. Like, that's not a good example for this
don't
lesson.
Sorry.
But, like, when we did that, when I read that book and we talked about it, and it, for the minimalism one, the cozy minimalist mm-hmm. home. When I quieted a room, took things off the walls, less things to dust, mm-hmm. I haven't put them back yet. Mm-hmm. And in January when we had our floors sanded, I was very thankful that I had less things to clean
yeah.
because my house was a disaster.
Yeah.
So
worked out.
Yeah. A lot of people love that episode. What about you? Have you heard any feedback from any of the others that we did this season?
I heard back from some mom friends about keeping our kids safe online.
Me too.
It just having teenagers especially, it just feels like they're navigating and looking and searching more and things pop up and they just, and like we said, they spend so much time online at school and then them coming home and having just everything is available. And having those conversations with them makes them aware. Ignoring it doesn't work. Educating them as much as we're educating ourselves on what's going on the internet, what can happen, what to be aware of, that there are genuine dangers, and you have to be prepared.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was that thing just very recently that people were losing their GD minds on, the Momo challenge from YouTube where the thing was coming up, the scary
yes,
image and
yeah.
telling kids to kill themselves
yeah.
and all this dumb stuff. And like the fever pitch response to all these parents mm-hmm. of just like something that turned out to be a hoax
yeah.
that like people were losing their minds. And what I kept thinking was, oh man, no one, these people that are posting and saying like, the devil will not get our children. Like, this is so intense. And I've deleted all these things from the iPad and the kids won't be able to get them. Like, I just wanted to be like, have you not listened to the episode where it says how to keep your kids safe online? If you were doing any of the things that we had talked about
yeah.
or that experts tell you to do, you wouldn't be concerned about this because mm-hmm. you would have already been prepared.
Right.
If this was real, mm-hmm. your kid, you already would have these conversations with your kids and you already would have, oh, I was just so like repulsed by all the like sheep that just
yes.
read a news article,
yeah.
lost their minds, mm-hmm. didn't research, just mm-hmm. spread the panic around. Mm-hmm. And then it all comes back to be like, yeah, we don't know where it started, but it's not actually happening. And I just, first of all, don't be that adult that just spreads things on the internet without reading or researching or thinking through. Mm-hmm. And second of all, don't be the parent that doesn't know what your kid's doing online.
Right, right.
And yes, I understand that it was like spliced into like a random kid's, like the scare was it was spliced into like a random kid's toddler show that you're watching. One, it wasn't true, but two, if you're communicating, one, if your toddler's watching TV and you're not around, then pick a different, just listen. Like, okay, let's just listen to episode, 32. And none of that would have scared you if you had been listening at all
yeah.
to what people are actually saying that we need to do with our kids when they're on the internet.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite episode we did?
I would say that minimalism two-parter that we did, I really enjoyed. And then just recently, I'm just going to say all of them and then there'll be nothing left for you to have. But 36, which is, right. Which is accidentally pushed play on my phone when I was tapping it for effect. Addiction and romantic relationships. And then the one we just did on growth and death. Mm-hmm. I liked both of those a lot.
Yeah. I get a lot of questions about my personal life that I don't want to share it. I'm not there.
You don't have to.
And I'm just not there yet is what I keep saying. And I felt like it was a good way to kind of bring, without sharing too much, bring people up to speed about what I've been going through the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I got a lot of love and kind words and a lot of people that are in similar situations.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me sad, you know? It always makes me sad when someone's like, I get it, I've been there, I relate. But it also makes you feel a little bit better that you're not all alone in it. So, yeah, 36 was probably my favorite, too.
Yeah. Kind of like what you said at the beginning, where people just like to hear us talk. Excuse me. On 37, that's kind of what we did.
Mm-hmm.
Growth and death. I really enjoyed that, and it wasn't so focused, and we could kind of just say that was maybe a little glimpse of real time, real life for us.
Right.
And sometimes it's more, not scripted. Nothing here is scripted, but just planned.
Yeah. Good. I'm going to take a question from Twitter.
Ooh.
Let's see.
I screenshot them because I can never come back to them, so I just get them all ready.
Yeah, here it is.
Okay. I would say I have it if you need it.
Mm-hmm. Adam asks, what are the most impactful skills that you have unlocked through your time in therapy? I recently, and this is another thing, slow learner, my therapist has told me a lot of times, like, you have to sit in your mess. You just have to sit in your mess. You have to sit in your mess. And it wasn't until very, very recently that I kept saying, I am sitting in my mess. My mess is all around me. It's here. It's happening.
Can't leave it. Yeah.
Yep. It's in my face all the time. But I realized that the drinking that I was doing was not, that wasn't me sitting in my mess. It was, in actuality, it was making my mess bigger, but it was also me not actively sitting in the mess. It was me escaping the mess numbing the mess. And to actually, like, sitting in your mess doesn't mean that you're sitting idly and just letting the mess happen around you. You are actively feeling what is going on. You're aware of it. You don't have to process it. You don't have to heal it. It's just happening. It's just a mess. And I had an aha moment yesterday with my family there, and my family knows that things have been hard the last few years, and that I thought, man, I haven't sat in my mess sober with my family. So this is me sitting in my mess in another situation where my family sees me sad, sees me angry.
And not trying to hide it.
And not trying to hide it, not trying to numb it, not trying to
pretend.
Be a drunk asshole.
Oh, yeah.
And just, yeah, or pretend and make it look good. Just, here I am, guys. You know, I'm wet hair, no makeup, comfortable in my house clothes. Didn't buy anybody a birthday gift, not a card. Didn't make any food. Everybody said that they were going to do these things, and I let them.
Yeah.
And I didn't do anything. This is a part of my mess, guys. It's just, this is me.
And did they all still love you
they
at
all
the
still,
end?
They all still love me. A little shocked. But everybody still loved me.
And you all survived.
Fine. And everybody
survived. That's a good lesson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That it's just things. There's a lot of things that I haven't actively experienced through my mess. Mm-hmm. That I have, like, just because the mess was happening, I didn't feel what I was feeling at the time. And so there's just new experiences that I'm going to do and go, this is messy me right now.
Mm-hmm.
And not trying, like you said, that this is just actively being in the moment.
And I bet your family will step up and maybe love you better than you've ever seen them love you, even in their own broken, like, mm-hmm. messy way. But, like, mm-hmm. I think you'll be surprised at how people respond to it.
Yeah.
You've just never let them.
Mm-mm. No. Before. No. Yeah, because a part of covering up my mess, or what I thought was dealing with my mess, was loving other people. And it wasn't. It mm-hmm. was just, it was, okay, I'm going to hit the pause button on everything I'm feeling right now and take care of these people. That'll make me feel better.
Right. Yeah.
No.
It just reminded me of when we had Brooke on for the therapy tips, mm-hmm. and she said you can't do anything differently until you recognize what is, mm-hmm. and that's like
that's exactly
for you mm-hmm. finally what you're kind of just holding on to. Like, yeah. here's what it is at the bare, like the root,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll see what happens.
Right, because doing things to make myself feel better or numbing things. Which I'm not saying, like, I know that the big term right now is self-care, but there is no bigger self-care than feeling what you need to feel when you need to feel it. Like, because it's going to resurface.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably could have been way ahead in my healing process if I would have felt those things when I needed to, but I didn't. And so now it's drawn out. But things are happening to me right now because this is when they were supposed to happen.
Yeah.
So I'm just taking it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think for me, can you ask me the question again?
Yeah. I think he said, yeah, here we go. What are the most impactful skills that you have unlocked through your time in therapy?
I think one of the biggest, like, lessons or the new skill I've picked up is understanding that for me, anger is never the real reason I'm reacting. And I don't know if a couple years ago I could have told you that. I just would have said, like, what you did made me mad, or what you said made me mad. And knowing that it's okay that my first response is anger, but it can't be my final response. So just giving it some time and asking some good questions and peeling back the layers of anger to see what I'm protecting by that anger. So, like, my feelings were hurt, my pride, you hurt my heart, you betrayed me, you disappointed me, like, whatever the real thing is under anger, I think for me has been the best thing that's come out of therapy, because it impacts every relationship, every interaction, everywhere I go. Like, that's for me life-changing, because my response to everything, if I don't pay attention, is anger.
This one is, how do you stay on track? I've identified my problem or problems, but I've seen how great life can be. How do I keep myself in check?
I think you surround yourself with patient, supportive people. That let you go through what you're learning at your own pace, even if they feel like they might have a better answer. I just think back to what you kind of said, mm-hmm. and I know just in conversations that we've had, not on the recordings, of just like how many times we have got close to that learning for you. But I say we, because it wasn't your learning. It was us having a conversation. So, like, finding someone that can hear you come up against the same battles until you have your breakthrough and still love you and still encourage you and just be there with you is, I think, important.
This kind of ties in what you're saying, actually, ties into another question. Do you Do you do a debrief with a confidant after an intense therapy session to recap or let things settle? So I feel like this is kind of a part of that. Just it's about your I've been in therapy, or I've done things. How do I say this? I went and I saw a DO for a while, and he was working some negative things that I'd been storing in my body that had caused me physical pain.
What does DO stand for?
It's osteopath. Okay. It's just like full body medicine.
Okay.
Like the brain, the body, everything's connected.
Okay.
So like, they can say that if you have lower back pain, you're storing, you know, this could be storing from a trauma here, doing this, or just however it was. And I was so desperate to stop the depression and the suicidal thoughts that I was like, I'm going to try this guy. And he told me, he said, after this, he said, before we even started, you need to have someone. I need you to have a safe person to call after outside this is over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Because this might be days. And it's going to be emotional. You're not going to hit a low, but you're going to need to say these things out loud
an
to
outlet,
somebody.
Yeah.
And I think that's the same, like what you're saying is just having safe people around you. And you don't have to do a, I mean, you can call somebody and say, can you be my safe person?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's fair. I've had people that love and care for me that at my worst times have said, before you make a decision, before you do something that could harm yourself, promise me that you'll always call. And I have a post-it note that says, when it gets bad, like, I have to write it out. When it gets bad, call.
Mm-hmm.
Because in those moments when you're so deep and dark in a depression, you're not going to remember.
Yeah, your brain won't even let you think that way.
Mm-mm.
I think for me, there are moments where there are parts that I would take and then talk to someone. Like, I'll come in here and we can talk about something that relates to our lives together. That sound like we were doing life partners.
Right.
But, like if sometimes, like, it'll come up in here. Sometimes I'll talk to Chris about some of the things just randomly. I don't leave and do, like, a whole, like, spiel about what I went over in counseling. For me right now, because I'm going once a month, and I think if I ever asked Lisa, she would say it's okay to go away for a little bit. Like, it's okay to stop.
Yeah.
But I have said I won't, and she can't get rid of me. But for me, practicing the things that I know are healthy and the coping skills that I have, a lot of what I do when I go there is I take things that I'm dealing with and I run by Lisa the ways I'm going to respond or the things I'm thinking.
Yeah.
And she helps me, like, focus in on what is my intent or purpose behind this. Is this selfish? Is this acting out of hurt? Is this correct? And so she's almost like a halfway point check before I do my actions.
Mm-hmm.
In a way. Of course I'll talk about things that are bothering me, or like, this didn't go well. Let's talk about why it didn't go well, or how could I have handled this differently? But in some ways it's, taking things that I'm thinking, telling them to her, and then she's helping me to make sure I'm doing things the right way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. So kind of like life coaching me a little bit.
Right.
And then when I leave, then I go out and do the action or have the conversation or do the thing that I thought I was going, that I needed to do, or I modify the conversation I was going to have in a way that Lisa has helped me make it safer or more appropriate. So just all these little, there's a lot of action after I leave therapy and a little bit of check-in with somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
Do you have any?
Oh, let me see.
Okay.
All right, so this is again from Twitter, and this is a little vague, and we can, I bet, go anywhere with it.
Mm-hmm.
Jason W. says, what's good? Because I keep forgetting. Trying to live a life of kindness and gratitude in the cynical world is wearing my ass out, but I'm not throwing in the towel. So he wants to know what's good.
I just talked about this before the podcast, and we are doing a, what would you say? I mean, it's just an app, right, for Lent?
A devotion?
A devotion.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's called Lean Into Lent, and the very first week is that, and we know that I come from a semi-Catholic background. I've only been Catholic for like 15 years, so that's, it's basically nothing, but
I think it still counts.
It still counts, and it was good for me for that time. It was what I needed. And so Lent for me has always been about sacrifice, and I'm learning that Lent is more about death. It's more about the passing. It's more about rest. It's more about, there's just other things, and I've just always been like, no, it's sacrifice. You give something up, and you're sad because you gave it up, but you feel better because it's only 40 days, and yeah, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I really did not know what Lent was about, other than it leads up to Easter.
Mm-hmm.
And the devotion for the first week is, I think it says peace, rest, and stillness. And I realized that all the knowledge that I could find on the internet, or all the knowledge I have about what's going on in my friends and family's lives from social media, all the books that I could read or the podcasts I could listen to, having knowledge didn't bring me peace. Knowing information didn't bring me peace. And so my suggestion to find what's good is to be quiet and just listen. Listen to what comes into your mind. Listen to your maker. Listen to just be quiet and still, and let the good come from within. You don't have to seek it. There's nothing out there that's going to make you better that you can't find in your own heart, or in your own prayer or your own meditation.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like you took like Lent from legalism, which is just like rules and things to do.
Yeah.
And maybe moved it to your heart a little bit more.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And just, and taking the next 40 days.
And just paying attention.
And just paying it, like just paying attention to my own. I told Mary that in quiet, it says something about, be still and be quiet and see how loud God speaks. And what I took from it was like, we are stripping it down to the basics, to the base level, to the nitty gritty, and we're gonna start with you trusting yourself again and with you trusting God again. Like these are the two things we're gonna start with. Like you really have to void out all other noise, opinions, voices. There isn't anything any author or guru is going to say that I need to hear right now.
Mm-hmm.
So rest, be still, and just let it come. Just so much noise. There's just so much noise outside of the trucks driving by. But well, just and constant.
I think, yeah, and I think for you, who we have talked many times about, like, it's easy for you to go to other people and serve and listen and like consume yourself in their mm-hmm. like circle, and so that you often don't hear what you're saying and like what you need or what you feel. Mm-hmm. And Lent is telling you that that's the most important right now.
Yeah.
And that's a really powerful shift for you.
It's a huge shift. It's a huge shift, and I don't even want to use labels right now. I don't want to say, like, I'm an Enneagram 2, or I'm highly sensitive, or I don't want to have any labels. I just don't, I don't want to have a reason to, like, well, this is why I act this way.
Knowledge as opposed to the feeling.
Like, just, there is nothing that I need to be doing right now. And it's going to be a huge shift in a lot of relationships, But even me saying that is me going, you're not staying in the moment. It doesn't matter what's going to happen in the future. Those relationships, that's
not
what you're doing.
And you're not
right
in
now.
Charge of those people.
No, I'm not in charge of how they feel or how they're going to react to this. And even me anticipating that is me not, I'm not being still.
Right.
I'm not being quiet. I'm not listening. I'm anticipating. I'm
worrying.
I'm worrying. And it's just, now you're doing the opposite of what you're supposed to be doing. And this is a huge exercise.
Yeah.
This is a huge exercise. And that's what I was just like, and I started to write as I was doing it. Okay, your job for the next 40, and I was like, you're doing it right now. Don't do that. You have no job. You have nothing to do.
No. I don't think I have anything to add to that because yours was good enough for the both of us. I'm just so proud of that. Like,
yeah,
I know that's not your nature, and not with any label. Just like you as
this is a huge shift.
Yeah,
this is just I need to stop saying what it is and just let it be. We'll touch base. We might do a little.
Well, we'll come back. Oh, what were you gonna say?
Mary's like, oh, do you have content?
I haven't. No. Tell me.
We do have a bonus episode that will come out
next week.
Next week, and we will do that, and that is for our subscribers.
Yeah, that comes out March 25th. That's coming out to email subscribers. If you subscribe, you get all the bonus. Mm-hmm. So I think if you signed up now, we would send you 4 episodes that you've never heard before. But what were you going to say? Summer check-in?
Might have to do a little check-in after Lent, even just that. Ooh. Talk about our devotion and what happened at the end of 40 days of us not giving anything up,
mm-hmm.
of not giving anything up, not taking something on, just actually working through this devotion and seeing what we took away from it. I would like to do that.
Let me write that down.
Okay.
So this is what we've ended up doing. A Lent, we'll call it a Lent recap. I don't know. What we've ended up doing with our email subscribers is, so this is our last episode of season 4. Mm-hmm. Season 5 starts back May 17th, I think. May 13th.
So. Oh, 17th.
I can tell you. It's right here.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry, May 13th.
Oh, okay.
And that will show up on iTunes or Stitcher or whatever you subscribe to the podcast on. The week before we come back with a new season, though, we send out an episode to subscribers also.
Okay.
So we can do that on May 6th is when we do a little, it's more just like things that we don't have time to do in the whole podcast, mm-hmm. when we have like a topic. So it's us catching up, talking about what's going on, like a little more relaxed and personal. And that comes out before and at the end of every season. Mm-hmm. So you get 2 extra episodes per season if you're an email subscriber. So we can just make sure that that's on the one in May is talking about what has happened as we went through this 40 day. So the study is called Lean Into Lent. I think it's through the company All Good Things Collective, which is a print resource company. You can find them on Instagram or Twitter. I'll link to them in the show notes too. There's still time. I assume they're still selling it. I don't actually know, but I wouldn't think it's too late to get started on it if you're hearing this and you're interested.
No.
It was $12, I think, and it's just a download.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So speaking of like wrapping things up, this is our last episode of season 4. In about a week, we'll send out the new episode to subscribers. If you're not on that list, going to notterriblepodcast.com and clicking newsletter will get you access to those. You get everything that we've done in the past. So season 1, 2, and 3 also had bonus episodes. So you get all of them and you can spread them out or binge listen however you want. We're coming back for season 5. May 13th, and we've got 10 new episodes. We've already started working on them. We've got lots of good stuff coming up. Do we want to say anything?
I don't know. What are you most excited about? I might have to look at your paper so I could say. But let's just say what we're most excited about, and then we'll leave the rest a mystery.
Okay.
Oh, I know.
Do you want to go first? I'm afraid we're going to say the same thing.
I'm going to say prayer. Prayer is the one I'm most excited about. That's really? Not what you're going to say?
Nope, that's not what I'm going to say at all.
Yeah, but we're gonna cover prayer. It's just so different. It's different for everybody. And I've been talking to a lot of people about it. And you should see their faces when I go, how do you pray? And they're like, what's your name? Who are you?
Why do you want to know?
Are you possessed? Yeah, so I've been having these conversations with a lot of people, and I'm excited to talk about it because even in talking to people, I've realized that I've always been like, you pray wrong, like this isn't how you're supposed to pray. You're not, you know, like it didn't count if you weren't on your knees and you're in
hands folded
the whole thing, you know, and so I'm really excited to talk about it.
Huh.
Yeah,
I'm interested to hear what you have to say.
Yeah.
I was going to say that we're going to do an episode with a dietitian that's going to talk to us about diet culture, mm-hmm. and how just permeating this idea of like the perfect body and how we have to strive and like what our bodies should look like versus the reality of, I mean, just like this brainwashing that our world has done. And I'm really, really interested and looking forward to that conversation.
Yeah, I follow her on social media, and I've realized just in like flipping through her stories occasionally and her posts that there are things that I do every day mm-hmm. that make me feel little or wrong about the way I eat or what I'm eating, or just like such a negative feeling attached to food and meals.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And I just can't wait to dive in deep and like actually find where this is rooted.
Yeah. She's doing a lot of powerful work, and it kind of stems from, in January we hosted her at the Front Room Studio and did an intuitive eating class where it's just about like eating what your body wants. And I've worked really hard since then just to accept what I'm eating and have no emotions attached to it whatsoever. I'm not eating in celebration. I'm not eating in like numbing feelings or because I feel out of control. I'm just eating food because I'm eating food. And that's been a weird freeing thing.
Yeah, there was
or punishing yourself for eating something.
Right. Feeling guilty about it afterwards. There was something that she said the other day that if you overeat a specific food, when like every time you eat it, you eat too much of it, maybe it's your body telling you that you should let yourself eat it more often. Like, you don't have to gorge yourself. Oh my gosh, okay, well, I'm eating ice cream, so I'm gonna eat all the ice cream. It was just like, no, maybe that's just your body going, hey, we would enjoy if we did this, you know, more often.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have to do it this way.
And then it would temper mm-hmm. how you respond to it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're talking about Lauren Reichert, and she on Instagram is Renovate Your Plate. We'll link to that in the show notes too, just if you are interested in what we're saying in anticipation of talking with her in May.
Yeah.
That she's doing a lot of really good stuff that's challenging me. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Awesome.
Also for next season, our next book club. So I don't know if this is your first time listening or not, but if you are new, we pick a book to read together, every season. And then we spend at least one episode talking about it. Our first book club, was a powerful book called,
gosh, I don't know. Is it over there?
Was it the Shannon Martin book, or that was just an interview we did?
No, we interviewed her. It was... Oh, wow.
I'm going back to our list.
Yikes.
Oh. The Road Back to You.
Oh, my gosh.
Of course. We talk about it all the time.
Only all the time.
Yeah, so our first book club was The Road Back to You by Ian Morgan Crone and Susan Stabile. Mm-hmm. This season was Everything Happens for a Reason by Kate Bowler. Mm-hmm. And then season 5.
Introducing.
13 Things Mentally Strong Parents Don't Do by Amy Morin.
This is going to be awesome.
It So the subtitle is Raising Self-Assured Children and Training Their Brains for a Life of Happiness, Meaning, and Success. I started reading this, I don't know, over Christmas break, and I texted Jess. I was like, this is, this, we have to talk about this. Like, every chapter is a lesson, a thing that parents, strong parents don't do. Mm-hmm. This is her second book. I think her first one was 13 Things Mentally Strong People Don't Do. And then there was such a, like, a success that they asked for the parenting version of it. She's got, oh man. Yeah, she's going to do some major pushing of, like, if you don't want to raise a child that will grow up to spend their life in therapy, mm-hmm. here are some things that we can do now mm-hmm. to love our children well and to set them up for success. And it doesn't mean success like a good job and lots of money, but just like healthy boundaries, healthy mm-hmm. relationships, mm-hmm. things that we care more about than money.
Right, right. I know that lately our house has been in such a shift that I've really concentrating on my children having good coping skills. Like, even in celebration, like, okay, what are we really doing here? Just how do we cope with good news, bad news, stress, you know, hurt feelings? There's been a lot of coping, so I can't wait to read this and start applying it.
Yeah, it's good. Like, each chapter is a different lesson, and I feel like, hey, you know what we could do for next season? Just one chapter, an episode. Yeah. We just did all our content. Yeah, it's that good.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, so before we leave, a couple things. We've got
housekeeping.
Yeah, so we've got stuff coming up at the Front Room Studio. You know, you've heard, if you've been here around for a minute, that we host events and workshops. And the learning that we do on the podcast and the conversations, we do that with people here in the studio, too. We invite them in and we to hear speakers and teachers that we want to learn from or that we love. April is a busy month.
It is busy.
At the Front Room Studio. April 13th, I'm hosting a writing workshop. So if you just in any form have been wanting to write or want some direction in writing, I'm going to be doing that. April 20th. And then April 27th, we're doing another social media micro-influencer event with Amy Sloan. She was here just recently teaching a group of ladies how to use the internet for small business growth and engagement. And it went really well. We had lots of good feedback, and people were just like lots of aha moments. So we're going to do that again in April. And then this summer, we'll talk more about this in our next season, but we are hosting some more workshops this summer over the Enneagram. Mm-hmm. Jess is going to do some yoga series stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah, we're just really like if you don't follow us on Facebook, not for the podcast, but for the Front Room Studio, I'll link that in the show notes too. But that's a really great way to stay in the loop on the things that are going on here. And we're opening up our doors multiple times a month, and we still have our monthly book club that's actually meeting this episode is coming out, I think, on the 18th. So tomorrow is our March book club. If you want more information on what books we're reading and when the book club meetings are, that's on our Facebook page also, and I'll link to that in the show notes.
I think that's it. You covered all of it.
I think that is it. Hey, we're getting ready to take a break, but know that we're not actually breaking. We're still recording episodes and getting ready for next season. Mm-hmm. We would love if you could give us a gift of a review on iTunes. Obviously, going in and just clicking the 5 stars, obviously, is good. But what's even better is typing in a few words. Even if it's just like, love this podcast, that's enough. Like, if you could give us a review, that helps more people find us. We read them on the air, so you'll be famous. We'll say your name on the podcast as a thank you, but we would love to hear, that we're getting more ratings and reviews that gets more access for more people.
Yeah. Awesome.
All right. Thanks for sticking around. I can't believe that we're done with season 4 now.
Yep.
That's a lot.
It's over. Season five feels grown up. Feels like we're headed to kindergarten now.
Oh man.
Season five is where kindergarten starts.
I wonder how many hours we've done so far.
Oh, I don't know.
That's a lot of time together.
That is.
We need to talk about that.
Maybe edit it down.
With Lisa. We have some things to discuss now.
All right. We'll see you guys next season.
See ya.
Bye.